Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. What a gorgeous day to walk your dog. It's not raining. It was sunny earlier. It's always a nice day to walk your dog, though. Wouldn't you agree, Eric?
I would definitely agree. If I had a dog, I would be, well, I'd be at work. But after work, I'd definitely take him.
Excellent.
Or her.
I was out early this morning when it actually was raining. And, you know, I don't mind being out in the rain.
This is Seattle.
You got to
everyone's life a little rain or a lot of rain must fall. So.
If we stayed in every time it rained, we'd never go out.
True enough.
Well, my dogs don't care about the rain. Well, my dachshund's not a huge fan of it, but once she's out, she's fine. And that's kind of how I am, too. And
she just needs a little wiener slicker.
That's right. And she has a few.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Anyway, we went out for a lovely walk, and one of the nice things about inclement weather is that there aren't many other people out, so you kind of have more space to yourself, which I like. It's just a good thing. Take your dog for a walk. Try to get him out every day. We say that a lot on the show. Most shows we acknowledge, isn't it a fine day to take your dog for a walk? In fact, how about taking your dog somewhere new? New smells, new sights, as long as it doesn't freak your dog out.
Yeah, new is good.
Yep. Like to acknowledge our sponsors. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. And The Dog Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care, All the Best Food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. You can find them online at allthebestpetcare.com and see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. Way back in March, I think it was, of 2009, so we've been on the air now for almost 3 years. Happy February.
Yeah, happy February to you as well.
Thank you. February 3 years ago, February 18th, which happens to be my dachshund and my partner's birthday, was my first show. And in March of 2009, I was about to interview Rose Dedan of Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing about Reiki and about her book. And it was a great interview. At the first segment of the show, I wished my Nana a happy birthday. And my Nana at the time was 95. So, that's impressive. And she's still going strong. So
good for her.
Yeah, she's 95. She was at that time when she called in. She's 100% Italian. She still plays some sort of game every day, bingo or, any of those other ones. And she still wins a lot of money, too, which is cool. So she's about to turn 98. And I wanted to play that that little piece of that show when she calls in. It's kind of amusing. I don't think she really she didn't know that she was actually on the radio, turns out. And then I think she also thought maybe the show was over because she was like, I loved your show. Anyway, I wanted to play that little thing as a shout out to my Nana. She's actually in the hospital. They think she has pneumonia. And she's about to turn 98. And although she is otherwise quite healthy, it's still a little scary to have a 98-year-old potentially having pneumonia. So I want to send a shout-out to my Nana. She's in Florida now. At the time she called in 3 years ago, she was living in Massachusetts. She's in Florida, so if those of you who are listening could just sort of send some healthy vibes to my Nana in Florida, who's in the hospital fighting potentially pneumonia. So Eric has been kind enough to cue that up. So that we can hear when my Nana called in. So you got that ready for us, Eric?
Yep.
Excellent. Let's hear it. Nana?
Hi, honey.
Hi, Nana.
And I want to thank you for wishing me a happy birthday.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, I love you so.
Oh, I love you too.
I wish you were here. I'd give you a great big hug.
Well, I'll be there this summer.
Oh, yeah, I know, and I can't wait.
Good.
Good. Well, you're a very smart person, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank you, Nana.
I enjoyed your show.
Oh, good. Well, keep listening because we've got
okay.
we've got
I
some.
Okay, I love you, honey. Hold on.
All right. That was my name. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, so she's, you know, and the conversations with my Nana when I do talk to her are usually pretty short. And she's just like, and we're done.
Well, she says what she wants to say.
She does. Yeah, doesn't waste too much time. And that was just funny. And so,
you can really tell that she's from Massachusetts.
You sure can.
As well.
You're very smart.
Yeah. You're wicked smart, Julie.
Yeah, she's funny. My Nana, so I have a dachshund, as many people know, my little Leia, who is now almost 9. Her birthday is the 18th. And my Nana used to have a dachshund named Sonia when I was little. And it's one of the few dogs that have ever bit me before. And I remember it pretty well. And I think Sonia must have been a little bit overweight because she had this sort of like tuft of I think it must have been just sort of chubbiness kind of hanging down from her chest. And I was sort of like tapping it up and down, kind of messing with her, and she bit my lip. And that was her dog way of communicating to me to cut the crap. Now I'm working professionally in dog training and behavior, and my company's name is Sensitive Dog. You can find me online at sensitivedog.com. And I got to say, I deserved it. You know, she corrected me like a dog would correct another dog. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm saying that it's okay for dogs to bite people, because it's not. But from my perspective, that's all she did. And it's no coincidence that children actually often get bit in the face. And then especially like nose and mouth area, because when dogs, like if I were a puppy and she were correcting me, or if I was another dog, especially a puppy, that's where the mother would correct the puppy, would be in the muzzle.
Hmm.
And so with kids, you know, if a kid is getting corrected by a dog, it's usually because they're bothering the dog or... commonly anyway, when they are maybe bothering the dog, or like I was bothering Sonia and kind of being annoying, and she was just like, cut it out. And that's how she communicated it to me. Sonia used to also raid the green beans. My Nana had a garden in the back, and she'd be like, where's the dog? I don't know. We haven't seen her. And she'd call her name, and we'd see her little, she was a black and tan dachshund. She'd pop her little black head out just over the green beans. She'd just go in there and eat them off the vine. And Leia loves veggies. She loves beans and snap peas and all that stuff. So my Nana,
she was ahead of the organic food craze. So good for her.
Get well, Nana. We're thinking about you. So I'm reading this book. This is how I can tie this in. I get a lot of books. I'm actually going to be giving away some books. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago and then I got sidetracked. But I'm going to be telling you later in the show how you can win a collection of books from my collection, because I have so many that I get through the show. And many of them I have ended up interviewing the authors for. So one of the books that I'm reading currently in hopes to eventually interview is a book called Dieting with My Dog. And I'm not too far into the book, but so far it's pretty entertaining. And it's this woman who sort of realizes that both she and her dog are overweight and really need to lose some weight. And it sounds like so far the main catalyst for getting them the woman to actually do it was because of health scare. It's an interesting, kind of an interesting take, Dieting with My Dog. And she kind of talks about her emotional eating, and then how she kind of projects that onto the dog as well, and will give the dog treats because she feels guilty for leaving and stuff like that. Anyway, well, today I had just finished working with one of my current clients. She is a Belgian Malinois, a very beautiful dog. A lot of people ask if it's a German Shepherd. No, it's not a German Shepherd, but they look similar. And it's a Belgian Malinois, often used in war or scent detection. They're very high drive, really fun to work with, but definitely high energy herding breed, similar to like a German Shepherd. So I just finished working with this dog today. just before the show. It was just a couple hours ago. And I was thinking to myself, oh, you know what sounds so good right now is a cookie. A delicious cookie. And, you know, I try not to indulge frequently. But sometimes, you know, a girl just wants a cookie. And so I was like, where can I get a delicious cookie?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, delicious. You know, it's hard to mess up a cookie. It's kind of like pizza.
Right.
Even
a bad pizza is still pretty good.
Still kind of good.
Yeah. But a really good cookie, yeah. That's
you just
great.
You just can't beat a good cookie, and you can't beat a good pizza either.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I remembered this place that I met actually my accountant at for a little like a one-to-one meeting, and it's called the Ice Box on Queen Anne.
Mm-hmm.
It's on like the western slope of Queen Anne, just up off of 15th. If you take Gilman up off of 15th. Headed north, go up to Gilman, and then you come to a stop sign at the top. And
I'm just hoping we get a box of cookies sent to us now for this big
yeah, I don't know, maybe. I told him I was going to plug them because that cookie was so good. So I went in there, and she was like, you know, can I help you? And I said, I'm really looking for a delicious cookie.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to believe what they had. They had these little mini peanut butter cookies that made a sandwich with Nutella in the middle.
You had me at peanut butter, but yeah. That sounds amazing.
She's like, well, we have these peanut butter cookies with Nutella in the middle. I'm like, are you serious? So I got one of those and also a chocolate chip cookie, and they were both delicious. And uh-huh. I mean delicious. So thank you, Icebox on Queen Anne, for making my day and satisfying that delicious cookie craving.
That's excellent. I thought you were going to, this was going to go that you ended up in one of the dog bakeries and had one of those cookies and rated that. But,
no, this is an all human, delicious peanut butter and Nutella cookie.
That sounds amazing. Not good for dogs, but amazing for people.
Occasionally.
But there is a dog bakery in downtown Seattle. I'm not just making this up, right?
No, there's lots of dog cookies you can get. Yeah, they use carob chips instead of chocolate.
What do you think about the dog bakeries?
Well, I mean, it's for people.
Yeah.
You know, it's satisfying the human need to get your dog a special frosted cookie.
Uh-huh. Do dogs like the frosted cookies?
Oh, most of them, yeah.
Yeah, dogs like
it. You just want to be, you know, mindful of what's in them. And uh-huh. just like for people, you know, every once in a while, fine. But, you know, sugar and fat all the time, not good. So same for dogs as well. So if you're going to give your dog a dog cookie, have it be a smaller one or, you know, just less frequently. Anyway, so thank you, Icebox and Queen Anne, for the delicious cookie. I appreciate it. All right, we're going to be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Good news, Belgium. We're streamed worldwide at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Now I'm craving cookies.
I know. It's a good thing I was like driving away from the icebox on Queen Anne, because after I had that one, I was like, oh my God, that was so good. Get me far away now, because that could be trouble.
Yeah, peanut butter and Nutella sounds like a deadly delicious combination.
Delicious. Very delicious. There's lots, you know, there's no shortage of cookies in the world, and many of them are delicious. And, you know, some of them are pretty good, and then other ones are not the best, but still not bad, because
most of the ones
a cookie.
You get in the store in a package or kind of
meh.
But doesn't mean I won't eat all of them.
Right, exactly. I'd be in trouble if I lived in England where they do, you know, tea and biscuits every afternoon. That would be trouble for me, because I could have a cookie every afternoon. Well, so the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show is coming up in a little 6 weeks or so, a little less than five weeks. March 10th, the weekend of March 10th at CenturyLink Field Event Center. It's probably one of the biggest dog events that happens every year, and we will be there again this year with a booth. Always have a blast at this show. If you're a dog enthusiast, as I am, check this show out. It's so fun. There's the confirmation that's happening, which is where they're showing the dogs for how they look and how they're structured and temperament as well. How they carry themselves, kind of like what you see in Westminster or in the movie Best in Show. So there is that aspect of it going on for the whole weekend. And then there's also a lot of other stuff that's going on. There's agility trials that are going on all weekend long as well. Really fun to watch. All different types of dogs. And then there's lots of demonstrations, police demonstrations, herding demonstrations, dog dancing, and, of course, nosework demonstrations with Miriam Rose, who is my nosework instructor. We just started nosework last week. We had our first class on Friday, and I can't wait until this Friday for our second class. I'm taking all three of my dogs through the class, and it's nice because only one dog works at a time, and so I can take all three of my dogs into the same class. It wouldn't work if I had to handle them all at the same time, but we rotate them out and they hang out in the car when it's not their turn in their kennels. So it's like a fun family activity for us, and it's a blast, and we've been practicing all week and just introducing the dogs. They use cardboard boxes, so it's introducing the dogs to sort of searching the boxes and dropping treats into the boxes and stuff. And so my dogs play find it on a regular basis at home, where I just sort of spread treats all over the house and then let them loose, and they just scour the house searching for the treats. And it's a fun game for them to play. It burns mental energy. So we've been playing that for years. So their, searching is not foreign to them. And you'd be surprised that if a dog has never really been given an outlet for this, it's not necessarily something that they're just going to automatically, get. It's, you kind of have to tap into that. The sense of smell is absolutely there, amazingly. But if you're not giving the dog the formal outlet for that, then they might not really know. There is some learning, certainly some learning involved. So Lee, and it was interesting to see all their different styles. Leia being the dachshund, she's a scent hound, so she's very thorough in her sniffing. She was wagging her tail the whole time, and it was really fun. And then Levi, my male cattle dog, who is very high energy and intense, and he was just kind of wrecking the boxes and having his way with the boxes. And then at home, I flipped one of the boxes over and put the treat underneath, and rather than pawing at the box to try to flip it or move it with his nose or something, Levi just bit the box and tossed it. So he's interesting. And then Telly, my 5-year-old, who we adopted at 2.5, she did really well as well. She knows how to play find it and everything, but it was interesting. She, one of the things that she will really get out of this class, I anticipate, is confidence, because she second guesses herself a lot. She didn't really have, I don't think, a ton of interaction, at least mental interaction, as a young dog, because we adopted her at 2.5 and she was a breeding dog, like a show dog and breeding dog. And it's certainly not to say that all show dogs and breeding dogs don't have this, but I think it was the case for her. I think she spent a lot of time in a kennel. And so she sort of would get going and searching and then be like, oh, wait a second, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. And then she would come over and offer me a sit and look at me. And I would just ignore her and then let her kind of reconnect to the searching. So I can't recommend this activity enough. It's called nose work. It's a scent detection activity, but it's designed for pet dogs. So it's not like I'm planning on, working the border with my dogs and having them actually be detecting for drugs or explosives or anything like that. We're doing it for fun. I'm doing it to cultivate and deepen my connection with my dogs and to also give them an outlet for their overflowing mental and physical energy, being Australian cattle dogs.
Well, you don't see too many wiener dogs at the airport sniffing baggage and stuff, which seems like that would be great if there were.
The dachshund,
because it sounds like
patrol.
They would be very good at it.
Oh, but, they are.
Yeah.
They are, yeah. Size might be a limitation for them. I don't know.
They could get one of those little carts that people ride around in the airport.
Yeah. I don't. It's interesting. They certainly use other scent hounds, bloodhounds, obviously. Mm. But mostly, I think, a lot of the search dogs are labs or herding breeds, really high drive. What they're looking for are dogs that are very driven, because that is what, that needs to be a dog that's driven to work. And, herding breeds have great work ethic, lots of labs. I just actually got an email. I don't know if it was from you. No, it was from a friend. There's a tribute book that's come out profiling the remaining, I want to say 11 or 12 off the top of my head, surviving search and rescue dogs from 9/11 for the 10-year anniversary of the event. And, there's just a dozen or so dogs from the roughly 100 who participated in search and rescue efforts after the 9/11 attack. And so it has these pictures of these dogs, and they're all, senior dogs, and it tells a little bit about their story, and it was just really special. But most of those dogs were labs. And then there were a couple, looks like German Shepherd or German Shepherd mixes. I know Miriam has worked with Spaniels, a giant schnauzer, and shepherds. And so the main thing is that you're looking for a dog that has a very high drive. But that's doing professional scent detection. We're talking about nose work, which is for pets. And the nice thing about this is that anybody can do it. Any breed, any level of physical fitness, both human and dog, super accessible. So you can find Miriam Rose online at www.nwnoseworks.com. And if you are not in this area, let's search for a certified nose work instructor. Nose work has National Association of, I can't remember, I think it's NASCW or NACSW. But just look, you can go to the National Nose Work site as well and look for a nose work instructor in your area too. Super fun. This month is like National Dog Training Awareness Month or something like that. And so I wanted to talk a bit today about something that I don't talk about that much, which is myself, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, I have the opportunity to interview a lot of really wonderful people. But today I'm going to give listeners some background on me and a little bit about how I got here and am doing what I do. And also going to tie, you know, in honor of National Dog Training Month, which is the month of February. And also I went and saw Kavalia, which was, it's this show with horses and people, and the amount of, the level of training of these horses is unbelievable. And they do it, it's all relationship based. And so as a dog trainer, I'm not experienced with horses at all. But as someone who works with animals and trains animals, I really appreciated the level of training that they have accomplished with these horses. So I'm going to talk a bit about that as well. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. Or follow them on Facebook.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
For home repair, remodeling, construction advice, ideas, and useful stories every Saturday from 10 till 11 a.m., tune in to Constructing Whatever. With over 40 years of combined experience, hosts Tim and Lynn talk about whatever, from important need-to-know topics to fielding your questions about the latest industry news. It's Constructing Whatever, every Saturday morning, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Next week of Constructing Whatever, mold, our state flower. Join us Saturday at 10 a.m.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Made fresh each day for you. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And this month is National Dog Training Month or something like that, Dog Training Awareness Month. And it is February 1st. So in honor of National Dog Training Awareness Month, I thought I would talk a bit about myself because I'm a dog trainer and I work with dog training behavior and food and have been doing so for almost 10 years in the Seattle area. And a lot of people ask me what, you know, how do you come to do what you do? Because it's not a sort of an unorthodox profession. Mm-hmm. And there is not a set course for it. So if somebody wanted to become a doctor, they would go to med school. If somebody wanted to become a lawyer, they would go to law school. Well, there really isn't dog training college. I was born and raised in Massachusetts. Go Pats, for those of you who are football fans. Then I went to college in Vermont. I went to the University of Vermont. And I always, well, I guess in high school, I really started reading out of interest about dog behavior. I was always very, very interested in dog behavior and how dogs think, and books like The Intelligence of Dogs by Dr. Stanley Coren, who I actually interviewed on the show about his more recent book, The Modern Dog, which was really interesting. Talks about evolution, the magic of dogs, the hidden life of dogs. You know, there's the James Herriot books and all that stuff. So I was read a lot in high school, and then I went to college at the University of Vermont, and I majored in animal science, which is what a vet would be for pre-vet. So undergrad would be an animal science major, and the University of Vermont has a very, very strong animal science program. It started out as an agricultural college, so as one can probably imagine being in Vermont. So they have a very strong animal science program, and I was a general animal science major, so not pre-vet. I knew I did not want to be a vet. So it left me with a lot of rooms for electives. So I took a lot of sociology classes of studying people behavior as well, because you cannot separate dog behavior from their behavior of their owners. you know, unless you're talking about a shelter dog, but, I took a lot of sociology. I took a lot of nutrition classes as well, which is where I got my, foundation of education and understanding how the digestive tract works and the science behind that, in addition to getting a lot of that through my animal science major as well, learning about animal digestion. So I did that, and then I still didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that I wanted to, you know, be a dog trainer at that point. And so I was stayed in Vermont for a couple of years after I graduated. I was thinking about maybe going back to school for human psychology. But then I moved out to Seattle. Why Seattle? The only thing I can say about that is that I just had a feeling about it. Had never lived outside of New England, wanted to check out another area of the country, didn't want to move south on the East Coast, certainly didn't want to move, you know, middle America, so West Coast, Seattle. Just had a feeling about it. And I was definitely right about that because I love it here. And there are a lot of similarities from, you know, Seattle and Burlington, Vermont, which is the biggest city in Vermont, which is a lot smaller than Seattle, but similar feel to it. It's on a lake. It's very green, environmentally conscious.
And Seattle is known as being a dog loving town, right?
Or, well, I guess I know it to be now. Yeah, yes.
But yeah. You didn't know that before you came
no.
out.
No, maybe that's what was drawing me out here energetically. It's the intense love of dogs, because to be in this industry, I don't know if there's any better place to be than the Northwest for dog. I mean, everything is here, pretty much, you could imagine, dog related. So moved out here. And shortly after I moved here, I found an apprenticeship at the Academy of Canine Behavior, which is in Bothell, for dog training and behavior. And so I applied for that and got accepted and started that in the late summer of 2002. Moved out here November 1st of 01. And so in August, September of 2002, I started my apprenticeship in dog training and behavior at the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. And that was a great place to get my start because I got exposure to a ton of different dogs. You know, many, many more dogs than I would have if I had, after the apprentice program, just went out on my own doing private lessons. I mean, I got to work with sometimes over a dozen dogs in a day. And, you know, first starting out, that could have taken me a week or two to accomplish working on my own. So I worked for the Academy for 3 years, 2 years full-time and another year part-time, and then saw a need for in-home private lessons. A lot of people were asking for somebody to come to the house, and that was not something that the Academy offered. All of their training was on-site, and so I saw a need for that. Started my business, Sensitive Dog, and here we are. That was probably 7.5 years ago. So I've been working in Seattle area, mostly Seattle and Eastside, doing in-home private lessons for people and their dogs. And you know, I'll work with anything from puppy basics, basic training for any age of dog, obedience training. And I also work with a lot of behavioral challenges like aggression and anxiety, fear, those types of things. So, you know, I've had a lot of experience with lots of different types of breeds. I understand dogs by breed and how they're wired genetically and how a terrier may respond differently to their environment than a herding breed just because of genetics, and a herding breed compared to a toy breed just because of genetics. That's really important. And what's also important is to understand that dogs are individuals, and even, you know, you could take five dogs of the same breed and they could all vary drastically in temperament just because of them as individuals and maybe the breeding. So that's an important thing, you know, when looking for a trainer. You know, it's important that you work with somebody who, you know, really is able to look at a dog as an individual, somebody who doesn't just have one method that they use, but who will adapt their training style to the dog, because that's so important. There's so many different ways to train. There's so many different styles, techniques, tools available. And a lot of owners feel very overwhelmed by that because they don't know what's what. You ask one person one thing and then another person something else, and they both say conflicting things. Well, who's to believe? And again, it comes back to what works best for that dog as an individual and that person as an individual. What's the best fit? What's going to be effective? So you want to be working with somebody who can adapt to you and who's going to look at you as an individual and your dog as an individual. Super important. There's certainly not one right way to train a dog. There's lots of different ways and lots of different effective and great ways. There's definitely some ways that I don't recommend. I mean, we never want to have a dog work for us out of fear or because they're, you know, because we're causing pain or by intimidation or anything like that. But, you know, there's lots of different ways. Mainly, though, personally, I'm pretty balanced as far as I do believe it is important to set boundaries. And, you know, I think corrections are fine as long as they're fair and the dog understands what they're for, because that's how you engage their brain and make them think. It's, you know, a lot of times people find that they can only get their dog to listen so well just doing treat-based, where the dog is only working for the treat. So relationship is super important, and that's where Cavalia comes in, which is this amazing show that's currently in the Seattle area. It's in Redmond. And they're here, I think, through February. So, you know, if you haven't gone and you're on the fence about it, I definitely recommend checking this out. It's unbelievable. So it's this show with horses and acrobats, basically, and also a display of training. And it's all based on relationship. And it's all positive. And you know, horses being prey animals are wired a bit differently than dogs. But and I don't know horses too well, but the connection was obvious. The level of training was unbelievable. I mean, they had horses just like out loose with nothing on just kind of hanging out on stage with nobody out there with them, kind of going through this thing, and then they'd kind of take off and like come back, I'm assuming, to someone who was calling them, and it was like totally, totally impressive. And I think that the thing for people to really get is the most important thing is your relationship. Everything else is, I mean, all the other stuff is, like, as far as the obedience training is easy. You know, teaching your dog how to sit. You show them the treat, you push it, you start it in front of their nose, and then you sort of lift it up and maybe a little bit over the top of their head, and then generally they'll fall into a sit position. And then as soon as they do, you tell them good sit, and you give them the treat, and you do that over and over again. And after, you know, really just several times, the dog is like, oh, cool, I get that. You know, it doesn't take many, many repetitions for dogs to get concepts. They're actually quite smart. So, but getting your dog to do it is the challenging part. So, yes, your dog knows what you're asking them to do, but they're choosing to not do it. And so that's where the relationship comes in. And, you know, it's hard to just describe that verbally. You know, well, how, if my dog doesn't do it, how do I get them to do it? It's depends on the dog. It depends on how you're working with your dog, how you're asking for it. I mean, there's a lot of depth to it. And if you're interested in getting more in depth and you live in the Seattle area, you know, you can have me out and I can meet you and your dog and we can talk about, you know, kind of delving into your relationship and training your dog. And again, my website is sensitivedog.com. And then, of course, the website for the radio show is dogradioshow.com. So, you know, it's like if you had to move and if, like, all of a sudden you had to move your house, all the contents of your house, and hiring a mover was not an option, who would you ask to help you move? Well, you would ask your friends. You would ask your friends or family. You wouldn't ask people that you probably wouldn't ask people that you didn't know very well or that you didn't have a relationship with, or you certainly wouldn't ask a perfect stranger, hey, could you, you know, spend a day and help me move? Because it's not a very fun job, but something that friends are willing to do for each other. So it's really important to be your dog's friend, that your dog likes you, that you play with your dog, and then also that you do establish yourself so that your dog respects you. And, you know, respect is a two-way street as well. So we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. Bring on the dancing horses, whatever they may want, shiver and say the word. This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Family-owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Tune in every Friday at noon for The Shelley Hale Show. The Shelley Hale Show takes you deeper into the stories that touch our lives. Every Friday at 1 o'clock on Alternative Talk 1150. Shelley Hale is an accomplished private investigator, intelligence analyst, victims advocate, and intuitive forecaster. Join Shelley and her guests and listeners as they break open the stories of the week, unlocking the clues to find the facts behind any mystery unsolved.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And this month is Dog Training Awareness Month. Something to that effect. February. It is the first day of February, and I'm feeling like spring already. I know it's a little premature, but I'm feeling it.
Not if you look out the window today. It already feels kind of springy to me.
It does kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's been sort of mild, like in the 40s.
We've had a nice winter, yeah. Except for Snowmageddon or Snowpocalypse, whichever right. You prefer.
Well, it is nice, especially being from New England, to see some snow during the winter. Otherwise, it just doesn't feel right. So I was talking a bit about myself in the last segment. Mm-hmm. Often I am interviewing other people, which I love to do. But since it's dog training celebration month or awareness month.
it's something new each time.
Something about dog training month.
The gist of it, yeah.
Yeah. I thought I'd talk a bit about myself and give some background on where I came from and how I got to be where I am now and working with dog training and behavior in Seattle.
You've got a very successful business that you are the proprietor of and yep. The chief trainer in. It's Sensitive Dog. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great name, but I'm always curious about that name because to me that sounds like, you know, the dog that likes, chamomile tea and likes to curl up with a good book and doesn't want to... I don't know. It just sounds like...
Well, it's a good question because...
How does that come to be? That's the question.
I looked up the definition of sensitive when I thought of the name almost 8 years ago. And you can read more about my philosophy and stuff on my website, which is sensitivedog.com. And for me... you know, a lot of people, when you think of sensitive, like you said, Eric, it's like, oh, you know, almost like a timid or like meek.
They enjoy long walks on the beach.
And that's not really what I was going for with using that. Although I will work with dogs like that who are sort of timid. But so I looked up, actually was kind of going off the definition of sensitive. And so I looked up the definition now, which I assume is the same. And so this is what I was going for, why I chose the word sensitive. Responsive to or aware of feelings, moods, reactions, etc. Easily irritated. Affected by external conditions or stimuli. Capable of registering small differences or changes in amounts, quality, etc. High sensitivity. They have a bunch of different definitions here. Capable of perceiving with sense or senses. Responsive to external conditions. Susceptible to the attitudes, feelings, circumstances of others. Readily altered by the action of an agent. So, you know, that's dogs. Dogs are sensitive animals. They are sensitive to their environment. They're sensitive to the people that they live with and the other animals that they live with. they react to their environment. They're sensitive to mood. They're sensitive to changes. I've worked with a lot of dogs who are having a hard time adjusting because of a move or a divorce or a new baby, and the dog's having a hard time. So it's that they are sensitive, and that I am sensitive to them. I'm sensitive to their sensitivity, and that I look at them as sensitive creatures that are aware of their environment and very much affected by it. And some more than others, of course, just like people. Some people are more sensitive than others. Some people are more reactive than others. That's the same with dogs. But they all, to a degree, are sensitive. There are no dogs that are just oblivious, that I've met anyway. And I've worked with thousands of dogs by now. So that was really where I was coming from in choosing the word sensitive dog is really, I guess, my sensitivity to them ultimately and my awareness of their sensitivity. And that's important. And that goes back to working with dog every dog as an individual and being tuned into that dog and understanding that dog as an individual.
Well, you know, the more like research that people do with dogs, it seems like the more we find out how in tune they are with us, with our moods. If a dog lives with, you know, a person or a family, they seem to really be in tune with the mood of the house. Mm-hmm. Or like a person will put on weight, the dog will put on weight, that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. It sounds like they really are, you know, quite sensitive in the textbook definition, as you describe it.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is that, and I see this all over the place. Your dog will perform to the level that's expected. So a lot of what I do is getting people to see what their dogs are capable of and how their dogs are capable of being communicated with. I can't tell you how many times I've worked with a client, people and dog, and the dog is not given enough credit in their ability to actually make a choice and respond to a request. And, you know, that's what's happening when you get people who, take sit, for example. So that's probably one of the easiest commands to have your dog do. Well, how are you asking for it? A lot of times what you hear probably mostly out there is the person just repeating it over and over and over again. Sit, 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 sit. You know, blah, 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 blah. And the dog is just ignoring them, you know, tuning them out, because all they're going to do is just repeat the command, and then maybe the dog eventually does it, especially if the dog's distracted by something or uncomfortable in their environment. So, you know, changing how we talk to dogs and, you know, recognizing that they are capable of really working with us, and that it's a partnership, and that communication is a two-way street. And, you know, I've heard this saying, what is the most important part of communication? It's listening. Or there's the expression, you know, we have one mouth and two ears for a reason. We should listen twice as much as we actually talk. And so that's really important, is that we actually, you know, that we learn, the people really learn how to listen to their dogs. And well, what does that mean? Because dogs aren't verbal. Dogs don't talk. When you go to a dog park or doggy daycare, you don't see dogs sitting around chatting. They are communicating, but they're not doing it verbally. So it's important to teach people how to listen, which is, to circle back to nose work, what I talked about in the second segment, one of the main parts of it is that you tune in and you're listening for your dog to tell you when they have found whatever it is that they're searching for. So that's a really, really cool part of that as well. If you've missed any part of this show or any of our past over 150 episodes, you can find us online at dogradioshow.com. All of our shows are also archived online on iTunes. You can download for free from iTunes as a free audio podcast. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes and you'll find us there. And then you can download any of our over 150 episodes. We also have a Facebook fan page. Search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Facebook and become a fan of the page. And then you can be a part of the conversation in between shows. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. You can also stream us online, and there's an app, I believe. Or no, you can go to the website, 1150kknw.com, and then click on Listen Live from your smartphone. And then you can also listen to the live streaming from your smartphone, too.
That's true.
Yes, very true. So find us on Facebook. We changed our name a few months ago from the Dog Talk Show. It's now the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And so the old Facebook page is actually being deleted today. And so be sure to find us, find our new page, the Dog Show with Julie Forbes, and like us so that you can stay with the pack. Thanks for listening this week to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.